The sporting. Raja Vadhubihi. With the young women of Vrindavana. Idam. This. Cha. And. Vishnoho. By Lord Vishnu. Shada Anvitaha. Faithfully. Anushrinuyat. Hears. Ata. Or. Varnayat. Describes. Yaha. Who. Bhaktim. Devotional service. Param. Transcendental. Bhagavati. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratilabhya. Obtaining. Kamam. Material lust. Rit. In the heart. Rogam. The disease. Ashu. Quickly. Apakinoti. He drives away. Achinena. Without delay. Diraha. Sober. Translation: anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavana will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So you can repeat: anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavana will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The extraordinary power of Lord Krishna's conjugal pastimes is clearly revealed here. Qualitatively, the Lord's spiritual loving pastimes are the diametric opposite of material lusty affairs, so much so that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, a devotee conquers sex desire. By reading pornographic literature or hearing about material romance, we certainly do not conquer sex desire, but rather increase our lust. But hearing or reading about the Lord's conjugal affairs has exactly the opposite effect, because they are of the opposite nature, being purely spiritual. Therefore, it is by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna that he exhibits his rasa lila within this world. If we become attached to this narration, we will experience the bliss of spiritual love and thus reject the perverted reflection of that love, which is called lust. As nicely put by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 59, Param Drishva Divartate. Once having experienced the Supreme, one will not return to material pleasures. In other words, there's a higher taste. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, a 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Rasa Dance. So, Vrikriditam Vrajabhadu Viridam Javishno Shudan Vitonu Shrinayadatta Varnayadya Vaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam vidrogam ashvapa inochyacharena diraha. So, Om Ganati Vidandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshura Minitam Yena Tasmai Shigurveda Maha. So we're going to describe the different elements leading up to the Rasa Dance and the Rasa Dance itself, but before that, I just want to comment on this particular verse and purport. There are a lot of conditions that should be there in order that one gets purified by hearing about the Rasa Dance. I mean, the first and primary condition is that one has to hear from someone who is free from lust in the cyclic succession. Of course, the only way someone's going to be free from lust is if they're actually in the cyclic succession and a devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, someone will be lusty even after liberation. So anyway, so that's extremely important. The verse spoken in the Hari Bhakta Shudaya, quoted by Sanatana Goswami, is Sampradaya Vinaye Mantras Tevnish Pala Mataha, that the mantra or the sound vibration, if it's not coming in the Sampradaya, the unbroken chain of disciplic succession, it doesn't have any effect. In fact, in this particular case, it can have the opposite effect. If one hears about Krishna's affairs with the gopis from someone who is not Krishna conscious, Prabhupada, or not purified or connected, Prabhupada said they can become putrefied instead of purified. He probably was making a play on words. And Prabhupada was talking about this in regard to a club that manifested itself in our temple in Los Angeles. It was called the Gopi Baba Club. And in this club, the devotees were hearing about the Rasa Leela, but actually Rasa Leela, the intimate exchanges between Krishna and the gopis, from Prabhupada's books, but in an inappropriate fashion. Their theme song, when they started their class every evening, or whether it was every evening or every other evening, was Shri Rupa Manjari Pada, which was actually the favorite song of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the favorite chant, I don't want to say song, but the favorite poem. So they were applying, not only should, in other words, should one hear from the pure source, but one has to apply it at the right time and circumstance under the direction of the pure source. So there's many preconditions there. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained that, yes, they were hearing from his books, and then Prabhupada compared his books to be like a pharmacopoeia. That's a fancy word for all of you. That means a drugstore that has many different medicines. And all the medicines, I mean, at least theoretically, are good. We understand in the practical world, some of these medicines are really bad. But in any case, let's say in a ideal world, the pharmacopoeia or the pharmacy or the drugstore has good medicines. And so it's not that every medicine is for everyone at all times and circumstances, and even if the medicine is for you, it has to be taken according to the doctor's direction. Just like I was talking to my mother, she's taking high blood pressure medicine, and the medicine says you got to take it with a meal, this particular medicine, it's a calcium channel blocker. She said you have to take it with a meal at a particular time of the day, otherwise, you know, it won't work properly. So the same thing with this explanation of the Rasa Leela. It has to be done appropriately. And actually, appropriate for us means that we approach the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's books beginning with the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. As Prabhupada compared and the Acharyas compare the various cantos of the Bhagavatam to different parts of the Lord's body. Of course, first canto is the Lord's lotus feet, and the tenth canto is the Lord's smiling face. So there has to be, it has to be done appropriately. However, Srila Prabhupada, even before he went on to the later cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, gave us Krishna book. So that's a great mystery. Not a mystery, I'll explain it, but it may appear to be a mystery. That why did Srila Prabhupada give us this information about the Rasa Leela before completing the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, one reason is that Prabhupada understood that he had very little time left, and he wasn't sure whether he was going to be able to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam, at least go up to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Another reason is that Prabhupada specifically took the story of the Rasa Leela and explained it, not only Rasa Leela, but all of Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto, but explain them in a certain way so that we wouldn't get confused or contaminated. In other words, it's in a story form, the Krishna book, but the Krishna book also has the purports and explanation and the protective factors integrated into the story form, which is very, very unique. So we can read the Krishna book, and even Prabhupada had us distribute the Krishna book to the public. I remember that was the first big book that we actually distributed in ISKCON. It was Krishna book. In the early, I remember going out and on Sankirtan book distribution, and thinking, you know, how are people going to understand this stuff? You know, it was very exalted stuff. But Prabhupada specifically structured it in such a way that people would get purified by reading about it. And you can't get confused when you read Krishna book about Krishna's position. And so I remember, of course, the way I distributed Krishna book was not that I told people about the Rasa Lila, but I told people about George Harrison. You remember that, right? I would say that George Harrison, everybody knew George Harrison in those days, probably still. I said, George Harrison has paid for this book, and he wants you to have it. Do you remember doing that? That was interesting. He wants you to have it. And then I'd show this, the introduction where he said, with the apple thing, you know, and says, all you need is love. You know, that was the only part of the book I showed when I distributed a Krishna book. George Harrison. And I said, George Harrison wants you to have this book. He's paid for the publication. All you need to do is give a small amount just in reciprocation. He wants that too. So I was actually using George Harrison to distribute Prabhupada's books, which is okay, which I think Prabhupada wanted. And George Harrison did pay for that, at least the initial printing of the Krishna book. So anyway, so if we hear from Prabhupada and we hear under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's representatives at the appropriate time, in the appropriate sequence, then we'll become purified. And we should always remember, as we're reading, because we have a tendency to forget, we should always remember that these affairs between Krishna and the Gopi are enacted with spiritual bodies. The reason for our lust is that our enviousness of Krishna. And the material body is a manifestation of our envy of Krishna. And not that you try to destroy your body. Your body belongs to Krishna. But you say, well, it's a manifestation of envy, so let me just kill it. No. It's Krishna's property. However, our body and the lust we experience from the body, whether it's due to the hormones or whatever, are a manifestation of our at least previous envy of the Supreme Personality of God and desire to emulate the Supreme Lord. So in order to properly understand these things, we have to be very careful about our interactions in this material world, especially, you know, things that could stimulate lust. Like we see in the case of Ajamil. Ajamil was a very innocent boy. Actually, I wanted to talk about the pastime, but he was a very innocent boy, and he just happened to look upon a couple that was embracing, and that stimulated his lust. And he fell down from his spiritual platform at that point. So we have to be very, very careful. In other words, of course, if this was Fiji, I'd be telling you not to watch Bollywood movies. Because in India and Fiji, they're very attached to these Bollywood movies. And what they do, it stimulates, so much stimulates their lust, it destroys their marriages. I've seen that because they expect, they have these unrealistic expectations out of their marriage or their romantic relationship based upon the Bollywood films that they end up fighting and it ends up, anyway, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. They're all attached to these films. So we have to avoid, of course, we don't watch Bollywood films, but we should avoid reading romantic novels. I mean, I've never done that. I mean, I like science fiction. So, because nowadays, science fiction has so much romance in it, it can stimulate your lust, too. In the old days, it wasn't like that. In the old days, just science fiction was just, isn't it? It was just like pure. But, pure nonsense, but I didn't find it stimulating my lust at all. So, but we have to be very careful. Like, that's why the movies, you know, cinema songs, love songs, whatever we were previously attracted to, will stimulate this lust and cloud our consciousness so we'll be unable to understand these things. Okay. So with that in mind, I'm going to give the sequence of the Rasa dance from my notes here. Okay. So at 7 years, it describes in the Bhagavatam that at 7 years of age, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. In this 8th year, the Rasa dance was inaugurated. Now, generally, children at 8 are not so romantic. But Krishna, because his body is spiritual and has nothing to do with the hormones and stuff that we experience in the body, Krishna's moods of love are actually completely transcendental. And his body is completely transcendental too. It's even described that one time Narada Muni, he visited Srimati Radharani in Rabal right after she appeared, and she manifested her youthful form to him. She was just a little baby, and then all of a sudden, he had manifested in front of him Radharani and her associates as, you know, full-grown youths. And he understood about the pastimes that would soon occur. So anyway, so the gopis, they have prayed to Kachyani, and the Kachyani Vrat begins, I think, tomorrow. The Kachyani Vrat, we can speak about a little bit tomorrow, is a very interesting Vrat, and the Kachyani Vrat culminated in Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes. That was the result of the gopis' prayers to Kachyani. So, and the Bhagavatam talks about yoga maya versus mahamaya, or lust versus love, and in the material world, the most despicable relationship is this parakīya relationship. Parakīya means other, like we have transcendental. Para, para means other. Like param. Param vyoma means the spiritual sky or the other sky or the higher sky. But in the material world, this parakīya or unmarried love is actually the most lowest. And of course, in the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, as described by Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, comparing the banyan tree reflected on the body of water, where the roots appear to be going up and the branches appear to be going down. So, of course, in Krishna's relationships, there's parakīya and swakīya. Swakīya means married, parakīya means unmarried. And the Goswamis, they consider the parakīya to be supreme. Jiva Goswami concentrated more on the Swakīya because his disciples, many of his disciples, would not be able to understand the Parakīya, but still he accepted the Parakīya as supreme. So Krishna is actually the husband, and actually there's no question of Parakīya anyway, because Krishna is everyone's husband to begin with. You understand? We're all Prakriti and Krishna is Purusha. So it's not that Krishna ultimately, ontologically, dance with anyone else's wife, because, first of all, they were all his to begin with. They all belonged to him. And secondly, all the so-called husbands, they were expansions, or in the case of Abhimanyu, of course, is considered an expansion of Krishna, but he's also conception. And we've described this in a previous lesson. Abhimanyu means the conception, the Abhiman, the conception that Radharani is married, that manifests externally in the material world, but not at all in the spiritual world. I think you all remember what I was talking about that in class. So Krishna actually is related as everyone's husband in an ontological sense. So this is in the full moon night in the Sharad season, which is today, and it's the most beautiful. So what happened, we don't have much time, is Krishna played his flute and just about everybody dropped everything. The gopis left the milk boiling on the stove, their babies, the cows, the husbands. And it's described they dressed themselves in a very haphazard fashion, sometimes the lower portion on the upper portion of the clothes, because they just wanted to see Krishna. Their guardians tried to stop them. And those that were stopped just meditated. And in their spiritual bodies, they went to join Krishna. The husbands thought they were still there. There's two types of gopis. The nichas, those who are eternally associated with Krishna, like the Astasakis, and those being promoted, like the sages at Dandakaranya, who fell in love with Lord Ramchandra, and Lord Ramchandra said, you'd have to appear again in order to accept me as your husband, because he had this ekapatni vrata. So when the gopis came, Krishna said to them several things. Why have you come here? Please sit down. This is dangerous. Go back, my dear thin-waisted girls. You have your responsibilities. And three, he congratulated them And then he gave instructions on chastity to their husband. And then four, he said, just remember me and everything will be okay. In other words, go home. Be chaste to your husbands. The gopis were crying. They were disturbed. They told Krishna, you are cruel. We have to take shelter. You are the ultimate husband. We can't return. So then Krishna embraced them, remember, in spiritual bodies, walked along the Jamuna, and there's many loving exchanges, like pinching, etc. I don't need to get into the details. The gopis became a little proud. We are the most fortunate girls, and this is also a lesson for us. If we become proud, I mean, we are extremely fortunate to be associated with Srila Prabhupada and his movement, but we have to be careful attributing that fortune to ourselves, thinking that we are great. We think it is the causeless mercy is the proper attitude. So then Krishna disappeared. The gopis were questioning the trees and the deer, and they were feeling so much ecstasy and separation from Krishna, they began to imitate Krishna's pastimes, such as the Putana pastime. One gopi played Putana, another gopi played Krishna. The cart pastime, the Trinavarta, Bakasura, all the flute playing, and even the pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, they were imitating. Not actually lifting Govardhan Hill. Then they saw the imprints of Krishna's feet, and there were two sets of imprints. One was Radharani's, and then they saw one set, and that was when Krishna picked up Radharani, but then Radharani was left to actually bring out, it's described, Radharani doesn't get proud, actually, even though that's described sometimes, but just to bring out her intense hankering for Krishna. And so then the other gopis who were looking for Krishna, they saw Radharani, and she was left alone by Krishna, and they became sympathetic, and they began to chant, and they sang songs. That's a whole chapter about that in the Bhagavatam, the gopis singing songs, longing for Krishna. Then Krishna appeared, and then he walked on the Jamuna with the gopis. There were 16,000, more than 16,000 gopis. And Krishna sat by each gopi's side. And the gopis asked Krishna this interesting question: which of the three classes of men are best? One who receives, one who gives always, or one who is neutral? Krishna replied, the second class, the second and the third class, the second and third class, they're Atmarama and ungrateful. Krishna explained that sometimes he does not reciprocate with his devotees just to increase their love. In other words, he takes things away like money, wealth, and in this way, Krishna says, they think of him 24 hours a day. Of course, there's that famous verse, Yashaham anagrinami harish ye tadanam shanai. And he said, ultimately to the gopis, another famous verse, it's not possible for me to repay you. You should be satisfied with your own love and exemplary behavior. Then the actual rasa dance began. Krishna manifested many forms besides each gopi, and each gopi thought that he was with her alone. At the same time, the demigods even got a chance to worship, to witness this. They were in their airplanes and just watching this from the sky. And the gopis were singing, and Krishna was clapping, and they got tired, and they put their hands on Krishna's shoulder. There was some kissing, not like the kissing of this world, I have to remind you, but exchanges of betel nut. And then finally, they entered the Jamuna and bathed, and after that they strolled on the bank reciting poetry. It's a very wonderful description in the Srimad Bhagavatam and by the Acharyas. And obviously there was no sex desire. Their only desire was to please Krishna. This had nothing to do with the sex of this material world. So then, in this particular description, Parikshit Maharaj inquired, he used the word jagupshitam. He said, this is a very bad example. In other words, sometimes we also say that too, that Krishna is not the best example for us. But then, Shukadeva Goswami gave the example saying that Krishna is God, so he's setting the example of what God can do, not for us to follow. And he gave the example of the sun and urine. Just like urine is very impure, but if the sun comes out and shines on it, it purifies even the urine, because the sun is very, very strong, especially in India. And he gave that instruction that no one should imitate Krishna's activities unless they can lift Govardhan Hill. If they can lift Govardhan Hill, then you can imitate Krishna's activity. Of course, we see so many imitation incarnations. Prabhupada comments on this many times. Even there was incarnations who appeared in America, not real incarnations. There was one, Guru Maharaji, who appeared in America, not appeared, he came to America, to cheat the Americans. At the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you had that Vivekashena, who was so-called Mahavishnu. And of course, Mahavishnu doesn't dance with the gopis, even got his Rudrasa wrong, even got his philosophy wrong. And he was having affairs with women in the middle of the night. Shukadeva Goswami says, someone who imitates Krishna's rasa dance will die. He said it's like imitating Lord Shiva drinking poison. It has the same effect. Then Shukadeva Goswami explains that the rasa lila was enacted by Krishna to show mercy to his devotees. And hearing about it brings relief from contamination, which we read in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this rasa lila lasted one whole night of Brahma. It's amazing, isn't it? And of course, for the gopis, it seemed like one instant. So the statement given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that moments of separation from Krishna is like practically a night of Lord Brahma. Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha prabhashayitam. It just feels so intense. But one night of Lord Brahma with Krishna is like one instant for the gopis. And it's in somewhat in this material world, we experience that when we're having a good time, everything goes quickly. And when we're at the dentist, it goes, time just expands. It becomes like a whole night of Lord Brahma while he's drilling our teeth, isn't it? So, hopefully there's no dentist listening to this. So that's the description. And anyway, we have a lot more here. We don't have time, but we can take questions. We have about a minute left for class. So today is the commemoration of Krishna's dancing the Rasa dance, which is a whole sequence of events, not just this particular chapter, but there's three or four chapters. There's the gopis searching for Krishna. Krishna and the gopis meet, the gopis' prayers, and everything like that, which we've summarized in the last few minutes. So any questions or comments? We have half a minute left. Yes? Even if one desires to be liberated from this material world, it's a self-centered desire. And that, you know, I'm sort of using lust in a different context. I mean, it's not the lust of sex desires so much, but it's the lust of self-centeredness, which is actually the ultimate foundational principle behind all the anarthas and lust, including lust in this world. Self-centeredness. Me, I want to get liberated. And so, therefore, this so-called liberation of going to the Brahmajyoti is described by the Acharyas, Prabhananda Saraswati, is Kaivalya Narakaite. It's like hell. So a devotee doesn't aspire for that type of liberation, which is called Sayuja Mukti. So, anyway, we can speak more about it, but we have to end right now. But Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam. These are all called Kam, or lust, or desires. Bhukti, desire for sense gratification, desire for powers, or desire for liberation are all called kam by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kam, sakalaya, shanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayva Shanta. One who is actually Krishna conscious has no desire for any of those things. Okay? Oops.